Not many people know that the New River is one of the few rivers on the planet that flows north.
Jeff Caldwell is executive director of Friends of Clater Lake.
You know, so most of the stuff that comes into the lake, it comes from Boone and the Asheville area and then comes down. So that sort of throws people off when they start looking at the weather and seeing rain. And, you know, if we get a monsoon here, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to affect the lake. If Asheville gets a monsoon, then we're in trouble for a little while.
And sure enough, it wasn't long before all that driftwood and detritus had been dragged out of the lake with help from the Friends. That network of people who care about lakes is vital to their health and longevity, so says Kelly Coburn, assistant professor of water resource policy in Virginia Tech's College of Natural Resources and Environment.
We're trying to understand, you know, how do people make decisions about using the land? And what does that mean for water quality in the lake over the long run?
Coburn's lead investigator on the project exploring how humans and lakes affect one another. They're finding that when they feel a connection to a lake,
it can galvanize people to come together and to start to work around a common cause or goal.
That's what started it all back in 1992 when a disaster led to the formation of Friends of Clater Lake. A chemical spill in Pulaski County turned the water blood red. It took a crisis like that to call attention to the importance of lake health and safety, but these days it can be subtler, less dramatic things that threaten the health of lakes.
You know, when you have a mowed lawn that might be fertilized that comes right up to the shoreline like it is here, how do we want to think about how we can prevent that fertilizer from running off into the water?
Coburn says those fertilizers full of nitrates and sometimes phosphorus are considered the largest threats to many lakes.
So we can do things like think about when you put the fertilizer on, because if you put it on right before a rain, that can be problematic. We can think about creating buffers. Like, for example, there's a little bit of a buffer here that's rocky, but it might be preferable to put in a buffer that is some form of plant life that would pick up the nutrients before they run off into the lake.
Clater Lake, at just under 5,000 acres, is relatively small. It was created by the Appalachian Power Company, which built a hydroelectric dam on the New River in 1939. Project manager of the Lake Health Study, Riley Henson, says, fortunately, the water body borders Clater Lake State Park, so it's mostly surrounded by huge forests.
And forest tends to be really good for the watershed by sort of providing a large area where natural processes continue and where people are not actively putting in nutrients into the watershed.
Still, there are other threats to Clater Lake that no one is putting into the watershed, on purpose anyway.
Hydrilla will completely engulf other vegetation and choke it off.
Jeff Caldwell's been leading the struggle to beat back the invasive plant that hitched a ride here from China. Unfortunately, it's an excellent traveler.
You know, hydrilla, for instance, if you put your boat in the water and just graze across a plant, and then you stick your boat in the Smith Mountain Lake, you just moved hydrilla from Clater to Smith Mountain Lake.
Caldwell says you can't ever get rid of it entirely. A few years ago, they introduced a species of carp into the water to eat the invasive plants. They do a pretty good job of keeping them in check, but no matter what they do, they'll be back. And that's one reason that Clater Lake will need to continue making new friends who can help keep it a clean and healthy source of recreation and drinking water in the New River Valley. I'm Robbie Harris.